Well, good morning, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my home. And just a few more of these Sundays, and we will be together again. July 5th is our first Sunday back at our church, in our facility. That's the right after the 4th of July holiday on a Sunday. On Saturday. We meet on Sunday, the 5th. And looks like we're going to be having a 10 o'clock service. We're loosely playing this all by ear until we hear more. But it'll be 10 o'clock service. It'll be pretty much the same thing that we normally do. There'll be some things that were limited, but we'll get those out in email before we get everybody in the building. So I hope you're doing well. I hope you are enjoying a little bit more freedom in our from our lockdown. I hope everybody's doing good. I know that it seems to be a very good thing to have the women meeting and the men praying and Wings meeting as well. And so I know the home fellowships have been really beneficial. So we are just excited to get back to some normal spiritually. We have a lot of work to do. I think there's a lot of pain and suffering in our country, in our state, in our county, in our cities. And I think people need hope. And we have the greatest message of hope. We have the greatest reality of hope that the world has ever known, and it's just a matter of getting that information out. So we are concluding the Sermon on the Mount. What a beautiful study that we have had the opportunity to go through, some of it in church, some of it online, but we are just finishing up the Sermon on the Mount and heading into some parables. And so this morning, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. And we're going to be concluding today with this sermon called The Wise and the Foolish Builders. Now, we have been talking about those that, you know, thought they knew the Lord but did not know the Lord. And they, you know, were wondering why they were not getting into heaven. And before that, we were talking about, you know, good trees produce good fruit and bad trees produce bad fruit. And there's this separation of good and bad and productive and non-productive. Last week we talked about, you know, just because we're around miracles, just because we're around the power of God does not necessarily mean that we know him. And so there is a separation of those who really know the Lord, who do his will, and those who are just around serving and doing ministry without any practical knowledge or without any connection and without abiding, right? And so this morning, a little bit different because I think this is the summation of his whole point that Jesus was making in the last part of Matthew chapter 7. So in the book of James, we have, you know, it's a very practical book, but we have a very practical command that comes out of that. And it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Another translation says, be doers of the word. And so James urges, you know, people like me, like you, to listen to God's word, and not only that, but to demonstrate a sincere commitment to the Lord by, you know, reacting to what they're hearing with an obedient reaction, right? In other words, we're taking in the word of God not for the purpose of literature, but for the purpose of change. And I think that that's something that differentiates us from a lot of other faiths, is that we, you know, we read these words and they should be producing change in us every time we read them. So the original language gives us a sense of, you know, we must keep on becoming doers of the word. This isn't, you don't become a doer of the word and then live the rest of your life. You are constantly becoming a doer of the word. And genuine faith calls for obedience that endures. I mean, that's just what it is. People that are doers of the word are the, you know, the opposite of Sunday morning Christians who go to church and they listen to the message and they, you know, they view it as merely an interesting spiritual discourse, or you know, they're sort of interested in how it speaks to the things of today. But if there is no change that results from reading and listening to the word of God, then there's truly a problem, right? Jesus said that the only the doers of the word would be truly blessed. And he said, but even more blessed are those who hear the word and put it into practice. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. So our text this morning, Matthew 7, 24 through 29, says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not, excuse me, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of their teachers of the law. So, a couple of things here in just observing. Again, Jesus, he brings up the hearer and the doer, and this is repeated here, right? The one who has action and the other one who doesn't have action. The doer who practices, I think that's a really cool word, is building on the proper foundation. And something that we, you know, something that needs to be stated here. Everyone in this parable is building on something, right? Everybody's building. That's what life is. Life is building. Whether you're building your future, or building for today, or building for the week, or building to pay the rent, you know, once a month. Everyone is building, doing something, right? And the other issue here is the rain came, and the rain is represents trials, and they're always going to come. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, you know, I have overcome the world." The storm reveals the structural integrity of the building. When it, you know, he's very descriptive. He says that the wind came and it blew, and the rain came, and it had an effect on the dwelling. And that's what trials do, right? So the wrong foundation will lead to destruction regardless of the outside beauty. If you have a bad foundation, you can have a beautiful structure on top of it, and it's not going to survive, because what makes it survive is the foundation. People listen because Jesus spoke with authority here. And it's not just talking about this particular parable, but it's a summation of the whole Sermon on the Mount. They were blown away with the authority that he spoke. They were blown away with the power that he had, and how he used all the different things in nature, and how he took the Ten Commandments and really made them come alive, right? So going deeper, this morning, going deeper is, number one, we have a story here that has great meaning, right? This story has tremendous meaning, and it's the story of a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And this is one of Jesus's parables, which is going to lead us into a section now of many parables. So the meaning of this parable is quite obvious, right? Proper foundations are necessary. Proper foundations are necessary. Those who build on a foundation that is sustainable, those who build on a foundation like rock, like bedrock, they're going to be successful. You know, with a literal house, it's unwise to build on sand, because the foundation will be unsteady and the house will eventually suffer all kinds of damage, right? That you know, this will waste resources, everything that took time to build, all the time it took to work and to build that house in the first place, they're for nothing. But the contrast of that is this wise builder who builds on a foundation, anchoring it to the bedrock, a building that can withstand all the storms and all the tests of time. So the second thing here in going deeper is the importance of our spiritual house, right? And that's, I really want, you know, want to sit here for a minute and just think about this. Because Jesus, his sermon, you know, was not necessarily concerned with the house or construction or building codes or violations. That's not what this is about. It's about the spiritual meaning of, you know, of the parable as found in Matthew. In verse 24, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock," right? We're all building a life. We're all building things every day. And you know, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things, right? And I think that if we're going to build on the rock of Jesus Christ, it's a consistent putting away a childish attitude. Childish things of this world are, you know, our attitudes, our anger, our bitterness, all the things we engage in to keep us really from walking with Jesus Christ. Those childish things, you know, Paul said, "I put those things away and I became a man. I thought like a man. I acted like a man. I took responsibility like a man." And everybody has to do that when they're building their spiritual house, right? And I think a lot of people, what they do is they spend time building on any foundation that they want, and the outside of the house is absolutely beautiful to the one walking by. However, on the inside, it doesn't look so good. And when you go underneath it, it looks even worse, right? The proper foundation for a life is Jesus, period. It's his words. It's not just hearing them, but doing them. And I think that when we think about, you know, the spiritual house that we're building and putting away childish things, and, you know, there's a couple of things that we learn in Timothy. And Paul told Timothy, look, you're a soldier, and your job is to please the one that enlisted you. And you don't have time to get involved in civilian affairs, right? You guys, civilian affairs are all those things that we want to do to please our flesh. Let's just be honest. That's what it is. It's building up our life. It's the pride of life. It's all that garbage that we get involved in. It's the lust of the flesh. It's all that junk, right? And he says, I want you to abandon those things, because if you're building on him, you're using materials that are spiritually motivated, not motivated by the world, right? Remember, you're on a narrow path. You're not walking on that wide road. You're building this foundation with godly behaviors and godly principles and godly actions, right? Not just a mixture of everything this world has on some, you know, lot of sand. That's going to be a problem. It's going to look like a great structure, but remember, the spiritual insight here that Jesus is sharing with his, with believers, future believers, is that the storm will come. The storm will come, and it will challenge the foundation. It will challenge the dwelling that you've been built, that you've been building. And if it's not on the proper foundation, it's literally going to go away. It'll be washed away because it was built on something that has the ability to move. And Jesus can never be moved or shaken. And those who follow him will never be moved or shaken. And guys, we have such a wonderful opportunity. Yesterday, I met with the men as we were praying for the church. There was 8 of us, by the way. There should have been more than that. But as we were praying, you know, we were thinking about and talking about what we have as believers to speak to the people of this age, right? They're filled with fear. They're filled with rage. They're filled with anger. They want to blame somebody for something. And what do we have in Jesus? We have a solid foundation. On Christ our solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, right? That's the song, and it's the truth. And we have that to offer. We have that to speak into the lives of people that we see every day that are gripped with fear, that are gripped with, you know, COVID fears and racial fears and financial worries and all this other stuff. And Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to be keep building on the foundation that he has, not to get caught up in looking away at all the stuff in the world, not to get caught up in all the distraction, right? The farmer, getting back to what Paul told Timothy, the farmer, he puts his hand to the plow, and when he does, he doesn't look back. I think, guys, we're so distracted. We got our hand on the plow. We're looking everywhere, right? And we don't engage in civilian affairs. So the third point here in going deeper is the fate of the wise man. So it seems at times, guys, that in everything in this world, it's just kind of set up to make us turn away from God and from God's words. And often, you know, our own feelings pull us toward doing the exact opposite from what the Bible says. A wise man, what he does is he will follow the words of God despite the pressure of those two things, despite the world and despite our own feelings that are pulling us. And we do it not in a way to show off or earn salvation. We do it because we trust God. And I'll go even further. We do it because we fear God. Guys, God is just. And because he is just, judgment is coming. We just learned last week there's going to be a massive amount of people who believe that they're saved. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. And the reply, but Lord, Lord, look at all we did. I never knew you. You're evil. Get away from me. The wise man, he builds it despite these pressures. He does not succumb to them. All throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents himself as the final authority and the fulfiller of the law. And he ends the Sermon on the Mount with a call to heed his message. In fact, you know, find one's security in him. That's what he's saying. And that's what we should be speaking to this world, right? That's exactly what we should be saying. As we follow the Lord, learning to trust and obey him, we receive a reward. What is the reward? Our house is steady and solid. It's unshaken by circumstances. The wise man is a believer whose life is built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And in this world, he has faith. He has hope, not only in this life, but the life to come. And that is an amazing thing. It's what this world is crying out for, church. So the wise man is like a tree planted by the streams of living water, Psalm 1, 1-3. Everything he does will prosper, right? You guys, you don't need to go look for a foundation. You have a foundation. You have it in Jesus Christ. You need to start building on that and not building on the things of this world, right? All of those things are going to be destroyed. All of those things are going to be laid to waste. But your salvation will never be laid to waste. So let's apply this morning. There's two things here, guys. Two things if you're taking notes. First one is the word brings true freedom. The word brings to freedom. Be doers of the word. The second is the word brings true change, right? Be doers of the word. And by doing the word, you're going to change from that old man into the new creation that God has called you to be. So number one, the word brings true freedom to us. And, you know, as a young believer, I never understood that. When I started following God, I thought, okay, more rules, more regulations, and I'm just lost in all of it. Jesus affirms that God's word is the perfect law that produces liberty. Why? It says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's a misquoted verse. You know, it's not, we don't speak this over our children. He said, if you abide in my word, if you understand my heart, if you understand my character through the nature of my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you're truly my disciples, you're going to know the truth of good and evil. You're going to know the truth of the world. You're going to know the truth of every spiritual thing. And that truth will make you truly free. Obedience to the word of God brings freedom from sin and death, according to Romans chapter 5. Verse 19. And the second point of application this morning is the word brings true change. You guys, the word of God is not just a beautiful piece of literature, to be read and enjoyed. Its purpose goes beyond provoking thought and inviting this, meditation just because we memorize God's word. That's great. Do it. James said, I'm tired of hearing about your faith. Why can't I see your faith in action? It requires more than memorization and sharing with other people. It demands a change of heart, and that prompts a changed behavior. The word of God is to be obeyed, period. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you are truly my disciples, then you will do what I say, and you will build on the rock. And when you build on the rock, when I bring the storms, you're going to be just fine. But everybody who did not build on the rock, all the people who invested in this beautiful dwelling that looks great to everybody else in the world, it's filled with all these things that they did for the Lord, but they didn't have that connection. Abide in my word. You are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you, says the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Well, that leaves us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I hope you've enjoyed it. We will continue next week in the study of some of the parables and the rest of Matthew. Looking forward to that. If you are listening online and you want to know Jesus Christ, the Bible says that it's clear. You need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you pray that prayer and invite him in, he's going to bring true change to your life. You're going to die to the old man. You're going to die to the race that you are right now, and you're going to become a new creation, a new race, a spiritual race in God. And it's going to be an amazing experience for you. And if you made that decision, find our phone number on the website that you're on. Give us a call and share with us the great decision that you've made, and we will rejoice with you. If you are a regular listener, remember, he has shown you, man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you.